you open your Bibles to 2 Timothy, the third chapter. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy, without natural affection, becoming truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, and despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly churches, laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And if you skip down with me to verse 16, or verse 13, I guess. But evil men and impostors shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scripture, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through revelation which is in Christ Jesus. For all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, it is God-breathed, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in right wiseness, that the man of God may be perfect or complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and the setting forth of his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of right wiseness, which the Lord, the right wise judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer. Gracious Father, we know truly that we are living in the last days. We know it's perilous times. And yet, Lord, the perilous times that we think of, on the one hand, we see all the violence in the land and all the shooting and in the schools and everything else, but that's not the peril that you're talking about. You said, fear not him that can take the body, but him that can take both soul and body. And Father, so we know that the perilous times have got to come, as your scripture warned us here, that men would be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. And yet having a form of godliness, which lets you know that they're claiming the same thing that those which are good, but those people which they despise. And so, Father, we know it's religion. And we know, Father, that the greatest curse that this world has ever seen is religion, because man has used it for a cloak to hide himself from thee. And Lord, but what we have in this hour, and as in all times, Lord, you have called us to an intimate relationship with you, and especially in this hour, for you yourself have come down in the form of the pillar of fire, bringing forth a vindicated message of the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of yourself, and bringing forth, Lord, that which we have need of. And so, Father, we just commit the hearing of the word and believe, Father, that you are the author, you are also the finisher. And I pray, Father, that you would get me out of the way, that, Lord, truly only what you would have the people to know and understand would come forth. And, Father, we just commit this service to thee. We ask that you would watch over and protect our lips, our hearts, our minds, and feed us, Lord, that which you would have, that which we have need of, and that which you have foreordained before the foundations of the world, being spiritual food in due season. And now to thee We just render due benevolence in this service in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I would appreciate your prayer. You know, we know that these are troubling times and perilous times, you know, being around us. And yet, the peril isn't so much worried. I think as long as you're trying to live a godly life, you're staying away from the inner cities and things like this, that you're not going to see a lot of the violence and things that are upon the land. But there's another perilous time that we're involved in, each and every one of us, because as a whole, brother, sister, this message is going to the dogs. And I mean what I'm saying, that the message itself is going denominational, it's going organizational. It's not your heart in this word, it's your heart in church. It's not your heart getting ready for a rapture, but it's how many people can we get in our doors, and what can we do to be like the denominations, but yet we have the word, and it just doesn't work that way. What I'd like to do this morning is just continue with the seed is not ever with the shuck, and this is number 19. And you know, Brother Bram says some things in paragraph 126 through 133 that I just can't seem to break away from. The last couple of messages, we have looked at what Brother Branham said from these verses or these paragraphs. And we shall attempt to go beyond that today. But the words you spoke just keep ringing in my ears, and I cannot get away from them as yet. In paragraph 126, Brother Branham said, politics, voting in and voting out, but relying on half-rotten man-made theology. You know, that in itself speaks for the condition of the message today. And a real true Christian could never eat that stuff, he said. And then he goes on, he said, he has promised us a full square meal of seven seals being opened, but it is only for those who can receive it. It is not meant for others. The others are now a dry shuck. The Spirit of God has passed through her, and she will not be heir with the vindicated seed word. She will be a church member, and she depends on that, feeding on 50-year-old food. And that's the condition of the Pentecostal church. The sad thing is that Pentecostal church that he's speaking of are those people who are listening to the message. And they've carried that over into this message. And I'm not standing here this morning, if I am, then may God have mercy on my soul. If I'm just up here being a negative old grouch, but it seems to me that every prophet of God, and I'm not claiming to be a prophet in any shape, way, or form, but every man of God in the Scripture came out from that wilderness, came in and pronounced judgment and went back out. So it seems to me that there's a wilderness journey, there's a wilderness experience that God has called us to if we're going to walk according to the way that His people have always walked. And it's going to be a lonely walk, and it's going to get lonelier and lonelier, because you see that those who are not preaching the truth are building and building and building as if time and eternity have not blended together, but time will keep going on, and they're producing their great so-called revivals. But you know, and like Brother Branham said in paragraph 133, he said a great revival, they're looking for a great revival in our time. But he said, by what? A perverted promise, a perverted message. When a message went forth and organized, it died right there. It died right there, and they stayed right there. Paragraph 135, he said, he gives us an example of the Pentecostals. Now, this morning I want to, like I said, read quite a bit more. But before I do, I want to take notice carefully of what he says. So in paragraph 132, I'm going to give you my feelings about it, and then we'll read it. He speaks of a church handpicking their own and what they want to hear instead of listening to what God wants them to hear. And as a result, what attracts the biggest crowds is what they believe to be God. But instead, we should know that God does not go with creeds. He does not go with crowds. But rather, he hides himself in simplicity. Now notice, as we pick up in 132, he says, just as Sarah tried to bring the promise of a supernatural by hand-picked Hagar, so has the church trying to bring revival, our great evangelists across the country today, a revival in our time, a revival in our time. All you Methodists, Baptists, Pentecostals, all get together. How can you have a revival of fresh manna on an old dead vulture? How can you have it? A revival in our time. The revival would be so small, they'd never know it ever happening. So what they're looking for a revival, brother, sister, is numbers. Rather than a revival, the word revive means bring back to life. See? Now, then in paragraph 133, Brother Bam says they're always looking forward to some great thing that is going to happen, and they fail to see it as already taking place. Now, why do they look forward to something other than what they already have? If you've got it, why would you be looking for something else? Because you don't know what you got. See? Because they don't know what they got, and they're not satisfied with what they have. Why did the people moan and complain in the wilderness? They were not satisfied with the plain old manna. They missed the garlic and leeks and the various meats that they had in Egypt. So as we read on, he says, Pentecostals said, oh, there's going to be a great happening. He said, it's happening, and they don't know it. I guess that's Revelation 3:14. Blind, miserable, naked, don't even know it. See? And that's it. Yes, sir. For where the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered. And that's what it said. What is the carcass? It's the Word. And he is the Word, the carcass Christ. Christ in you, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, in paragraph 134, Brother Bram tells us that in order to fulfill the promises, the church will do so by a perverted measure. And remember, Jesus spoke to he spoke to the Pharisees in John chapter 8, and he said, fill ye up then the measure of your fathers. What did the measure of their fathers do? He said, every one of the prophets your fathers killed. See? And so if they're going to fill up the measure of their fathers, or that word measure actually means a pattern, filling up the pattern, then they're going to repeat what their fathers did. See? And so, as I said, he tells us that in order to fulfill the promises in this next paragraph, that the church will do so by a perverted means, a perverted measure. And how is that perverted? He said, by organizing the people together. Now catch how he says this. The more people you can get together, the more right it must seem. You know, they use the scripture, it says, in the multitude of counselors there's safety. I'd like to know when that ever took place. God's always had a one-man message. See? But they use that scripture, and yet they will bypass the other. So God must continue to move on as he has in the past whenever man followed the same path toward organization. And so we read paragraph 134, says, how true it is, Sarah trying to get the promise all fulfilled. You see, in a great, like the church today, a great revival in our time. By what? By a perverted promise. Now, how are you going to do it when God never did bless organizations? Now, before we go on, notice Brother Brown said, by a perverted promise. They're trying to get everybody together. By great organization. Didn't Paul say in Galatians chapter 1, he said, how so soon you become removed from him that has called you into this marvelous light? And he said, unto another gospel. But he said, not really another, but a perverted one. See? And then he goes on to say in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he said, you know, if someone come among you preaching another Jesus, he said, preaching another spirit, another gospel, he said, you put up with it so easily enough. So it's not another as if it's completely different one, but it's that another, hupotasso, which means it's of a different nature. And brother, sister, if it's of a different nature, then it is another one altogether. See? It's perverted. Like Brother Branham said, a lie is just the truth mistold. Fornication is just a righteous act done unrighteously. See? Satan doesn't have any word of his own, so he takes the word that God has and he perverts it, simply perverts it. He said he never did use organization. When a message went forth and they organized, it died right there. And I repeat, when a message goes forth, now what's he talking about? Well, we have him looking back at Luther, Wesley, Pentecost. Yes, that's true. But then if it happened in Luther, it happened in Wesley, it happened in Pentecost, isn't Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever? Didn't Brother Bass say man doesn't change? He just takes on another spirit, that man dies, the spirit remains, goes into another. Then brother, sister, let me read that again. He never used organization. God never used organization. When a message went forth and they organized, it died right there. And I challenge any historian to show me where it ever raised again. It died right there and it stayed right there. God just moved right on out of that carrier into another one. Right on out of the Lutheran into the Methodist, right on out of the Methodist into the Pentecostals. I have news for you. He's not going to move out of one and into another because this is the last one. The last thing that's going to happen, brother, sister, is he moves out and that's it. He's gone from the earth. And those that are with him will go with him. Now, it's a pretty striking thing to think about. But as you see the message drying out to the Word of God, you know, hallelujah, that the Holy Ghost is getting ready to take a flight. That ought to get you excited. See? Now, in paragraph 135, here he tells us who is leading. He said, God in the pillar of fire by a vindicated word. Then he says, God help us to see it. Let's just read it. Now he's moved right out of the Pentecostals into the seed. Because he has to be the seed. Notice, because it has to be the seed. You can't beat nature. There's no nothing else there for it to happen but the seed. So the seed will produce itself. And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same pillar of fire, showing the same signs, the same power, the same God, the same miracles, the same things. Vindicated the word. And the Bible just exactly, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's leading tonight. God help us to see it and to believe it, sure. Now in paragraphs 136 to 137, he goes back to this thought on politics. And the people want to handpick who will be the carrier of the word. Just like Sarah handpicked Hagar. So does the church want to handpick their own. And then it becomes a handpicked group. And may God help our blinded condition, because that's where the message is today. See, he says, the church handpicked Hagar. It didn't work, did it? No. Her handpicked group won't work today either. Doctors and PhDs and LLDs don't do it. All the carriers failed. Luther failed. Hagar did. And what did Hagar do? Hagar gave her son to another woman's bosom. That's right. To raise her child. Hagar did that. Gave her son, her only son, to another woman's bosom, not its mother, to raise it. And that's the same thing Luther did when he gave his son justification over to a denomination to fool with. That's exactly to raise him up. Now catch what he's saying here. He's saying Luther, that message of justification, was given over to denomination or to organization. Because let's face it, they didn't call themselves denomination back there. But there's organized religions. And so they gave the message of that hour over to an organized theology. an organized way of doing things. Wesley failed the same as Sarah did, doubting the supernatural birth, being the baptism of the Holy Ghost, as Sarah did at the oak tree. When Wesley was introduced to the supernatural, when the Pentecostal age came on and Wesley was introduced to speaking in tongues, all this, they laughed and made fun of it. All you Church of Christ and you so-called, you Baptists and Presbyterians, every one of you turned your nose up on it and went away from it. That's right. And what did you do, Wesley? You sold your child to an organization. Hallelujah. You see what's happening in the message? Each one, brother, sister, sold their child, the message, to an organizational way of doing it. So you sold your child to an organization and it died and perished. That's exactly right. I'd like to play for you a little tape that my daughter was given. It's some people in the message that sing. And you can listen to the tape. It has nothing to do with the message of the hour. Oh, a few words here and there are said to, you know, tie a little bit of the things. But basically, you can turn on the radio Saturday mornings and get the kiddies' stories on the radio, all the feel-good stuff. And these songs are all the feel-good stuff, and yet they really even get into a lot of boogie. But yet, you know, it's done in the guise of, hey, let's win the world to this message. It's not going to happen. In other words, let's sell our child to the organization. Wesley did. Luther did. And now Pentecost did. And the people in this message have. And that's where it's going. See? In paragraph 138, he tells us the pure seed and the true seed won't stay in that group. They will and must move out of it or from such, and as they do, they go through rough trials, many trials, that brings her into maturity. Because we know that the trying of your faith works patience, and after patience has its perfect work in you, see? So notice he says, but the word, the true word, went right on. It didn't stay in that organization. It moved right on into Pentecost and took some more with it. It was a more matured son, like the seed that fell into the womb. And after a while, it started in the backbone. Then it had lungs and had heads and feet, and or head and feet. And after a while, it come to the place that it was born. And that's right. So that's how the church has matured the same way. Now notice, he's using the church as an illustration of a woman bringing forth a child. Just as Christ in you is the hope of glory. And God is using your body as members of His body. And as you look at the churches, He said that's a type of the bride. And when you see what's happening out there, brother, sister, that life, that word, that revealed truth, that has been such a tremendous thing for God to share with you and me. That life, that child, is being handed over to organization. And what's happening? The child is being sacrificed. Just as abortion is a predominant thing in our society, so was in their false worship, so was the aborting of children back then, only they were living children, not yet, or they had already come forth in the womb. Now, when patience has a perfect work, it brings you into His image, where you perfectly reflect His glory, His opinion, His judgment, His assessment. And notice again, Brother Brown said, but the word, the true word, went right on. It didn't stay in that organization. It stayed right on into Pentecost and took some more with it. It was a more matured son, like the seed that fell into the womb. And after a while, it started in the backbone. Then it had lungs and had head and feet. And after a while, it come to place that it was born. That's right. So that's how the church has matured the same way. Now, notice again, he's talking about the womb. Now, we know that the womb is the womb to the mind. And that's where Christ is being birthed, brother, sister. It's got to come down to the mind. We are in the mind age, Brother Brown said. And if the mind is not completely bringing forth to life, then neither will the body. Your body is just a reflection of your mind. Your mind gives up on life, your body will give up on life. Your mind is pressing forward to the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, your body will press forward. Noah had a revelation to build an ark. And what did he do? He built an ark. His hands followed. His body followed his revelation. See? Now, paragraph 139 says, Wesley doubted just exactly like Sarah did at the tree. She said, when the angel of the Lord, a man dressed like an angel, God, it was himself, Elohim, dressed like a man, that stood there with dust on his clothes and said that he'd and give the promise after Sarah was 90 years old and Abraham 100. And Sarah laughed up her sleeve and said, how could this be when Abraham and I haven't been as young people, family relations, maybe for 20 years. She was nearly 100 years old, said, me have pleasure with my Lord, me old and him old too, and his stream of life is dead, and my womb's dried up, and my breast is gone, and the milk veins gone. How could I have it? And God said, I promised it. He's coming anyhow. Now, I'd like to stop here this morning and just focus on some of these things, because I see that what he's doing here is he's giving us a good type of the church, showing that the church is in a dried out condition. See? Now notice, there's 3 points I'd like to bring out here. Number one, his stream of life is dried up and dead. Now it's interesting, because we know Brother Branham said another place, he said that the seed runs out. In this hour, the baptizer himself has come. The baptism takes us up to, in fact, it's a down payment, it's an earnest until. And the word until means that there's an end point. And his seed runs out. Now, I like to say that since she is a reflection of him, her stream of life is dried also. In fact, he says her breast and milk veins dried up, and her womb is all dried up and dead. And what I'd like to look at is this thought of her stream of life, her womb is dried up and dead. Now, if you turn with me to 1 Peter, first chapter. Beginning of verse 13, he says, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind. Now, where's the loins? Well, it's where the woman's womb is at. Gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, that's like Baptist, Methodist, all these other, not fashioning ourselves as that, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver, gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundations of the world, but was made manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. And the grass that withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. Mm-hmm. And this is the word by the gospel which is preached unto you. Now, what I want to focus on this morning, and just shortly, is her womb was all dried. Maybe tonight we'll get into her breasts and milk veins were dried up. The breasts and milk veins, brother, sister, refers to the nourishment of the life that has come forth. That which sustains. But her womb being all dried up is because the life stream is dried up. Your life stream is your blood, because the life is in the blood. And so, as his stream of life, his seed, the word, comes to a completing point, comes to a finishing point, when all the mysteries are revealed and finished, it is finished. Time shall be no more. His stream of life dries up. And as the word dries up, her stream of life dries up to her womb, and then her womb dries up, becomes of no use anymore to bring forth life. Now, her stream of life drying up is not the same as Abraham's stream of life. His stream of life is his seed. And yet we know that the seed of God runs out in this hour. But she represents the church, and her stream of life then is her what? It's her blood flow to her womb. And the blood dried up and is gone. And there is only one way that can happen. One way only, brother, sister, that the blood stream to her womb can dry up and die out. And that is that she has failed to walk in the light. For 1 John 1:7 says, if you walk in the light, as he is the light, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all sin. Now think of this cleansing, because we know that when a person, if a person has anemia or has poisons in their blood, they need a blood transfusion. If her bloodstream is drying up and drying out, she needs a blood transfusion, and that blood transfusion can only come by walking in the light. Do you understand? Well, now we know that according to science, medical science, that you cannot receive a transfusion from just anybody. Your transfusion must come from someone who has the same blood type as you. And therefore, brother, sister, only the elect, the predestinated gene of God, could have, only he could give her the same blood type. But if he tried to infuse his blood on someone who was not in his predestinated thoughts, it won't work. It'll end up killing, because the Bible lets us know that not only if you walk in the light as he is light, do you have fellowship with him, his blood cleanses, but we know that the light manifests all things. All things are manifest by light. And therefore, the wheat are manifested wheat, by what? The light. The weeds and tares are manifested, weeds and tares, by what? The light. The light will bring into manifestation every creature. See? Now, from the indictment, Brother Brown said, the Holy Ghost today is not a third person, it's God Himself, manifested in human flesh by the blood of Jesus Christ, to sanctify a life that He might reflect Himself through. And they crucify that same word made manifest. You understand? The crucifixion of Christ today, listen, the crucifixion of Christ today is the people who will deny the vindicated and manifested Son of God among the people by His things that He said would take place in this day by His word. That's a pretty strong statement. And just think of crucifixion, brother, sister, because not only are you hanging there, but as you're hanging there, because of the placement of the nails in your feet and in your hands, your blood is ebbing away, your strength, your life. And he says, the crucifixion of Christ today is the people who will deny the vindicated and manifested Son of God among the people by the things that he said would take place in this day by his word. So the revelation of the manifestation being rejected is the crucifixion of the vindication. See? From Christ is the mystery of God revealed, he said, the church is the blood of Christ by the Spirit, because the life is in the blood. Now remember, if the life is in the blood and there's no blood to the womb, then how can any life come to the womb? Right? And how does a person lose the blood? By not walking in the light. And what is that that we've brought out in the past year? It's that great apostasy, the great falling away. See? And falling away means that they had to be in and then gone out. Now, he says, the church is the blood of Christ by the Spirit, because the life is in the blood. That's the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That baptizes us into his body, that recognizes only his body, his flesh, his word. Denominations won't ever touch it. Touch that. It's a revelation. She knows it. So did Eve know it. But she fell. But this one knows it and won't fall. She's ordained. She's ordained to not fall. She won't fail. She's predestinated to it. Blessed is a man who God will not impute sin. You ministers know what I'm speaking of. A couple dozen of you sitting here. Blessed is the man who will not who God will not impute sin. Again, from Christ, the mystery of God revealed, he said, how did the speckled bird, they were both white, and then they pulled the head off of one bird. Now notice, it wasn't the tail feathers, it wasn't the legs, it wasn't a wing, but it was the head, representing what? Christ, the headship. They pulled the head off of one bird and drained the blood out upon the other bird. And the other bird was speckled with the red blood, and it flopped its wings like this, and the blood cried, holy, 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 as it bathed the ground. So Christ, the dead mate, put his blood from his life into us, spread, and carrying his blood, crying, holy, 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 unto the Lord. It's an odd-looking bird. Sure it is. But she, the bride, is identified by him. And she's independent from all others. Keep thee only unto her as long as you both shall live. Keep thee only to him, the word. No adultery. Not one side of denomination. Not one side of creed. No adultery at all. Excuse me, not one side, but not one sign of denomination. Not one sign of creed. No adultery at all. The word and him alone. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, said Eddie Pruitt. From desperation, he said, now in this case the blood was a token. Literally, it had to be applied because it was just chemistry is all they had, because it was a lamb's blood, an animal, a lamb's blood. So the life that was in the blood, the life that was gone out, so it's the life. And I will give unto him Zoe, my own life. Christ and God was one. Now remember, in all these things, he's letting you know that the life is in the blood. And it lets us know in Colossians 3 and 4, it says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we appear with him. So brother, sister, there's a bride who will appear, who will manifest with him in glory. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we appear with him in what? In glory. Then what's it let you know? It lets you know that if you're walking in the light, as he is the light, that his blood is actually flowing through you, his word, his life. But notice this church, like Sarah, her womb, that which allowed for the life to develop and to come forth, her mind was dried and dead because it was not walking in the light. See, from desperation, Brother Brown said, now this case, the blood was a token. Literally, it had to be applied because it was just chemistry is all they had, because it was a lamb's blood, an animal blood. So the life that was in the blood, the life was gone out, and so the life, and I will give him Zoe. From the token again, he says, we also find in Hebrews, the 12th chapter and 24th verse, that the New Testament, the blood speaks better things. The blood is speaking. Then the blood has got a voice. Well, sure, if you walk in the light, as he is the light, then the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses. And what is the blood? It's the word. It's got to have a voice. See? Then the blood has got a voice, and the voice of the blood is the word. Hallelujah. That's what makes it, whether it's right or wrong. The word is identified by the voice of the blood. The voice of the blood is the Holy Ghost, and that brings life. It is life, and it brings life to the word and quickens it. Amen. 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 From the unveiling of God, he said, notice the old temple had in it the Shekinah glory and the light of the Shekinah over the word. The word is a seed, and it brought forth the showbread to believers only. And the blood also was upon the covenant, and the blood is the water, and the water that lifens the grain, the wheat, the seed. Now, I just brought this illustration out, or this quote out, because I want you to see one thing. He says, the word is a seed. The word is planted in the womb of your mind. But when the seed is planted into the womb of a woman, unless it has an issue of blood, an issue of life-giving blood, it will die. It will not even come to the place of stillborn. See, it'll simply dry rot, because the blood is the life, is the water of life to that seed. Let me read this again. Notice the old temple had in it the Shekinah glory and the light of the Shekinah over the word, and the word is the seed. Now picture that seed then in the womb. It brought forth the showbread to believers only. The blood also was upon the covenant, and the blood is the water that lifens the grain. Are you catching that? Let me read the next one, going beyond the camp. He was to them in their camp a fanatic, a breaker of tradition, an upsetter of their churches. Really just a fortune teller, a spiritualist called Beelzebub. That's what he was. And I believe if he come among us today, he'd be the same thing to us. For we have traditions. We have denominations. We can't even get along with one another. Why? There's only one place that man can get along, and that's under the shed blood. And the blood was shed as a germ of life to germatize this seed, the word. Let me read that again. And the blood was shed as a germ of life to germatize this seed, the word. Outside of that, our denominational barriers will always keep people away. What keeps people away from the word? denominational barriers. See? What brings life to this spoken word? The blood. Is it really applied? If it's really applied, brother and sister, it's because you're walking in the word, as he is the word. See? From broken cisterns, he said in Zechariah, the 13th chapter, he was that fountain opened in the house of David for cleansing and for sin, cleansing of sin. He was that fountain. In Psalm 36 and 9, he was David's fountain of life. He's still the fountain in the house of David, and he's, as the poet said in his heart, he said, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, where sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. He is that fountain of life, that fountain of water. He is the Word of God. Now there's other places I could take you, and we'll just read it if you might. But notice over in Psalm 36 and 9, I'll just read it. It says, for with thee is the fountain of life, in thy light shall we see light. In Proverbs 5 and 18 says, let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. And then in Leviticus 20 and 18, it lets us know what that fountain is, or what her fountain is. It says, and if a man shall lie with a woman, having her sickness, and shall uncover her nakedness, he hath discovered her fountain, and she hath uncovered the fountain of her blood. And both of them shall be cut off from among their people. Now, so what is her fountain? The fact that her life-giving blood is flowing to her womb. To do what? To nourish the seed. Brother, sister, a church without the blood flowing to the womb is dead. And Brother Bram said, as we read earlier, he said, the bride is the blood of Christ by the Spirit. In closing, I have a few other quotes I'll read to you. Brother Bram said, you ought to know every message has been that way. Jesus was wonderful when he went in the church and healed the people and everything, but he sat down one day and said, I and my Father are one. Oh, that did it. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. He didn't explain it. He wanted to see who would stand by him. Right. What do you think the crowd with doctors and things said? That man, why, he's a vampire. He eat his flesh and drink his blood. He never explained it. He never explained it. But still that word was holding those apostles. They didn't care. They didn't understand it. They believed it anyhow. They knowed because they'd seen the works of God, and they knowed it was. And he said, they are they that testify of me. From the rising of the sun, he said, I'm afraid today that too many of us are not getting to Christ, or not getting people to Christ. We're getting them to church, to a theory, but we must get them to Christ. He is the only one, and the only one that has life. He that has the Son has life. Oh, that's a beautiful statement, brother, sister. If the life of Christ is growing, developing, and maturing in you, in the womb of your mind, it shows that you have life. It shows that the blood is flowing to the womb. Now, you can talk the blood all you want, but is the blood of Christ flowing to your womb, to your mind, nourishing the life that is growing up within? See? He said, I'm afraid too many of us are not getting people to Christ. We're getting them to church, to a theory, but we must get them to Christ. He is the only one, and the only one that has life. He that has the Son has life, and if the life of a man that's dead be projected in you, you will live the same life that he lives. If the blood of the man was a certain type, and you took the blood from one man and changed the blood of the one man into another, he's absolutely to be that typed blood. And if your spirit that's in you is reckoned dead, and you are anointed with the life that was in Christ is upon you, Romans 8:11 says, if the spirit that raised up Christ from the dead dwells in you, it will also quicken your mortal bodies. That same life, then, them same powers, them same beneficiaries that he had here on earth from God, he redeemed you, a seed that was foreknown by God, whose names was put in the Lamb's
book of life before the foundations of the world. And that gospel light of the resurrection, the confirmation of the word. How did he know he was Christ? Because he proved what he talked about. How will I know the message of the hour? God proves what he promised, and he talks about it. Finally, from the invisible union of the bride, Brother Branham said, O dear dying lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power, till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. What is sin? Sin is unbelief. Unbelief in what? Thy word. Unbelief in God, which is the word. Pure, unadulterated, oh, hallelujah. Leaving soon for the skies, amen. Standing ready, think, your garments washed by the water of the bleeding word. The word becomes blood. The word bled for you, and you are washed in bleeding word. The word bleeding. The life of God in the word. And the word was bled for you, that you might be washed from the filth of these prostitutes and be cleaned and sanctified by the washing of the water of the word, that makes your mind and heart stayed on God and on his word. I think we'll close. We could take for yourselves chapter 10 of Hebrews, and you find that Paul lets us know that there was a time when men would sacrifice, and basically they identified with the blood dripping down from the sacrifice. Men would hold their hands out, they would slit the neck of the lamb, that lamb's blood would fall into the hands of the man, and the man, when he felt that warm blood, that ebbing blood running down his hand, running down his arms, he identified with the sacrifice. But Hebrews 10 tells us that, brother, sister, that that sacrifice was put away because the life of that lamb could not come into that man. But there was one life that was shed. And when that life was shed, it was shed, and the blood that contained the life of that man, that life came back upon the believer. And brother, sister, when the blood is flowing through your womb of your mind, when you're coming to the place where all your thoughts are of God, then you know that the life of his seed, of himself, is coming forth and ready for birth. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we thank you once again for the opportunity to look to thee, the author, the finisher of our faith. And Father, looking out among us and seeing how the message in general is taking on the form of denomination, it seems like it's politically correct and things are only said that will not offend, but things that are said that are feel good, that make people feel wonderful, and nothing is being challenged to the people anymore. Everything is focused on the children. And so the people have gone from meat back to milk. And Father, we pray that, Lord, you would give us the meat that we have need of. For we know that through the meat we're strengthened. And the meat, in the meat there's blood. And the blood enriches our blood. And it's your blood doing so. And Father, we have need of these things, and so we would ask, Father, that you would take a hold of us, that you would give us a blood transfusion, for we're anemic. And yet, Lord, help us to identify. Help us to be built up into heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And may the blood of Jesus Christ, your blood, your life, flow through our womb of our mind. And may the seed of your word so grow and mature in us until one of these days soon we'll see an identified Christ of all ages standing in our very midst, birth forth from the revelation of the manifestation. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's just sing in closing. There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins. where sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains.